Welcome to The Caring Generation, Navigating Life's Transitions with Dignity, Clarity, and Stability. I'm Pamela Wilson, the Care Navigator, spokesperson and guardian of The Caring Generation. Join me on 630 KHOW Denver's talk station every Sunday from 10 to noon. The Caring Generation is here to guide you along the journey, to let you know that you're not alone. You're in exactly the right place to share stories, learn tips, and resources to help you and your loved ones plan for what's ahead. We're here creating the Caring Generation. Visit thecaringgeneration.com to learn more and invite your loved ones, family, and friends to join us every Sunday from 10 to noon. The Caring Generation held focus groups with retirement communities in the Denver area to identify concerns and challenges faced by individuals and families when it's time for transition. Do your parents need more help than you're able to provide? Is it time they considered moving to a retirement community, yet you're not sure how to have that conversation, or you've tried with little success? Are you an older adult overwhelmed by the thought of moving, even though you know it's probably time? Are you an older adult who has experienced an unexpected change in health, such that returning home from the hospital or a nursing home may not be practical, or now you're worried about living alone? Maybe you're noticing that day-to-day activities like maintaining your home, caring for a spouse, housekeeping, and meal preparation have become tiresome, that you just don't have the energy you once did, or the time to participate in activities that you once enjoyed. Are you feeling isolated or lonely because friends have moved away or passed on and you're not as comfortable driving distances? Have your friends or children expressed concern about you living alone, or are they seeing the exhaustion that results from your role as a caregiver? If you find yourself in any of these one situations, it may be time to make a plan. If you're an adult child watching your parents slow down, does the thought of having a conversation about care needs with your parents make you feel uneasy? If you're an older adult noticing that it's time for a change, do you feel anxious at the thought of making a major change because of all that needs to be considered and accomplished? Deciding on home care, planning to sell a home, downsizing to a smaller apartment, moving to a retirement community are all changes in your daily routine. Even more, do you know everything that's involved to make this type of transition successful? Most individuals or families in this situation don't know what they don't know. Many times this decision is delayed until a time of crisis, and many times the wrong move is made. Feelings of anxiety and overwhelm are common. Many older adults and their children lack the experience to know who to trust and sometimes become prey to free placement services who don't always have the experience to look at the total picture. Free placement services who make recommendations, not always in the best interest of the client, but based on the commission they receive from retirement communities. Here's an excerpt from Michael Behrens, a reporter from the Seattle Times newspaper, who did an investigative series called Selling Seniors. The subject, placement services who treat older adults like commodities.
From hospital social workers to nurses, this hidden economy has become so prevalent.
Oh, there's an absolutely hidden economy of gifts, I think. Can I prove it? No, because it's one-on-one. I think that, and they sort of work it out and get a fee under the table. Do I think that happens? Probably. Can I prove it? No.
Do you think there is some literal selling of patients?
I think the patients, in many instances, can be treated like a commodity.
When the need for a transition arises, it's important to make sure that you're working with industry experts who have the knowledge, experience, ethics, and belief in customer service to help you make the right move. It's really common to be concerned about finding trusted resources to assist with locating the right community, to assess lifestyle and care needs, to avoid making a decision that results in the wrong move. Somebody that you can trust to assist with downsizing, deciding what to take and what items that will remain and which to sell. Even to sell the home, especially if the money's needed to pay for the monthly cost of a retirement community. When the subject of needing care arises, many times the words, "I'm not going," are frequently heard. I'm not going to accept a stranger, a caregiver in my home. I'm not going anywhere, meaning leaving this home unless it's feet first. I'm not going to move to live with a bunch of old people. I'm not going to be able to sell this house, and I'd need money to pay rent somewhere else anyway. I'm not going to give up my independence. I'm not going to spend my money on a retirement community when I can live in this home for free, meaning that a home is paid off. Many who say, "I'm not going," are fearful of change and the unknown and the effort required. Many realize that maintaining their home is too much. Let's listen to Marion, who moved to a retirement community.
So how long have you been here?
I came about the 1st of April, and I thought, I'm so glad I don't have to take care of you, that house.
It can be a lot of work, can it? And you don't realize it until you don't have to do it.
It was, they're small, and it's a small house. It looks so little, but there's a lot of living room in that house.
And do you like it?
Yes, I do. The people are so nice to us here, and it's traumatic. It's quite an experience for people my age.
Tell me about that.
It's hard to explain, and so many people don't understand it because it's in your mind, really. And after all, you have to do what life hands you, you know. It's worked out. It really has. I had never heard of this place until I landed here. And it's been fine. The people are really nice. So make it easier for us.
How did you get over the difficulty of it's the mind thing? Did you just make up your mind that it was going to be okay?
Mm-hmm. You just have to. You have to kind of step back and say, this is it. Do it.
Sometimes the fear of change is all in our minds. People hear the word retirement community or assisted living, and they think these communities are like the scary institutions of years ago. You might be surprised at how they've changed. Maybe you think that because you've done well so far in life, you're less likely to face the fate of others. Problems that happen only to other people, not to you. Health emergencies, illness, falls, a diagnosis of memory loss, diabetes, heart disease. This is a phenomenon called unrealistic optimism. It's been researched by Weinstein and others, and it helps us understand why many older adults are in denial about a health diagnosis, needing care, accepting caregivers, or the necessity to move to a retirement community. The challenge is that our lives are all so different. Especially as we age and become more isolated, the likelihood of a similar event happening to a close friend decreases, increasing the level of unrealistic optimism. For older adults who are isolated because they no longer attend social events, maybe their friends have moved away or passed away, those who have little contact except with children or other family members, their view of life becomes very small and limited, thus the perception that they lived in a protected environment. Thus, when issues related to health and aging occur, older adults miss the signs that indicate life is changing, and some are surprised when an unexpected event occurs. Let's listen to Gloria share her story.
Well, you know, the golden years, sometimes I have a friend who made a remark saying, the golden years, the halo is a little tarnished. We don't expect things to happen. I unfortunately had, I don't know where or how it happened, but I had to have an emergency open heart surgery. I stroked out on the table, so therefore I am in a power chair. I'm very independent.
A lot of people are afraid of assisted living. They think it's this terrible place.
Oh, you have to be here, and you have to. See, I didn't know either. I was married 55 years and 5 months. So 5 months after my husband died, I moved out here to Colorado, but I was too far from my daughter where I was. She went by here one day and she said, came to me and she said, Mom, she said, there's a new assisted living. And she said, I stopped and got some information. I looked at that and I said, sounds like something I would like. I had one of the girls, she came up to see me where I lived. And I went through all the information and I gave her a deposit, sight unseen. By living here, we have a bus with a lift. So I get on the bus with my electric chair, and I can go any grocery store. I can go to the mall. I can do a lot of things. I'm very independent. I have been. And I'm one who occasionally needs a little extra help, but most of the time I do everything myself. I take care of my own clothes. The laundry's done, but I can take and put things away, take my own shower. I adapt. I take care of my hair, go get my hair done, but I also can wash my hair and fix it myself. I pretty much do what I want.
Many people I work with who are diagnosed with dementia or Alzheimer's are shocked to learn that there are so many other people in similar situations. So similar that statistics show if we live past the age of 85, we have a 50% chance of being diagnosed with memory loss. We just don't want to believe that we'll ever become a part of that statistic, part of the 50% who will be diagnosed with memory loss. Again, it's the challenge of unrealistic optimism, which is supported by physicians who tell individuals that they have a little memory loss, that they have mild cognitive impairment, but never explain the consequences or the changes in daily life that will eventually occur as the memory loss advances. Let's listen to Carolyn, who realized it was time for a move, not only for her benefit, but for the benefit of a loved one.
My husband was so brilliant, so smart. He was Mensa. He was part, there was a 7-people team, 5 men, 2 women. He was one of the 5 men. They put the rover on Mars.
Wow.
And today he can't remember that. He has the onset of Alzheimer's.
How long has that been going on?
Oh, I'd say I've noticed the last year we had a 3-bedroom ranch, so I wouldn't have to go up and down. We lived there for 11 years, and I could see him going down and down. And 2.5 years ago, one of the men walked away from the nursing home, and it was the dead of winter, and he walked all the way to Highlands Ranch. But then he could not find where his son lived, and he froze to death that night, and that put the fear in God of me for him. And I said, no. We didn't want to sell our house, but it sold in less than a month. And the first 2 months, all he would say is, I want to go home. I want to go home. So I was so glad when the house sold, because I told him, honey, we don't have a house anymore, so we can't go home. This is home now.
If your loved ones have mentioned that you need a little help, need care, ask yourself if you're experiencing unrealistic optimism. Before this research and our discussion today, you probably had no foundation for the denial that relates to aging, health issues, and needing care, or your belief that nothing is wrong, I'm doing okay. Adult children, if your older family members, parents, grandparents, and others are in a similar situation, are they experiencing unrealistic optimism? The critical issue with this is that a crisis of health eventually occurs to burst the bubble. Those who realize that health issues may eventually happen have a much better experience when the time does come to transition. Many people have no idea of the differences between independent and assisted living, memory care, and skilled nursing. Let's listen to Brandon share his experience in choosing a retirement community.
And assisted living is definitely two different things. And some of the places I looked at, if you moved into a senior living, you got sick, you had to move into the assisted living, you have to move all your furniture and everything. So I didn't like that. And some of them were too large. So about 2 or 3 years ago, we came in here, and it just stayed in my mind. And then when she started getting ill and I needed some help, I couldn't cook. And so I came back down here, and of course it's under new management now and a lot better place. And so I definitely wanted to come here. All the artwork they have on the walls and the halls are wide. Some of them are looked at as narrow, and it's like being in prison, kind of. You walk 3 or 4 stores up and 3 or 4 buildings and just narrow. I didn't like that. First time I looked here, I looked at the southern exposure, and then it was available when I came back.
Brandon's story is important from the perspective that there are so many communities available. The goal is to find the right community to match your long-term needs. Many individuals and families never consider potential reasons when choosing a community why they might have to move or be asked by the community to move again. Is it time to have a discussion about care needs and caregiving to bring the subject into focus, but you're really not sure how to have the conversation, or maybe you've tried and been unsuccessful? The challenge with the discussion is to be honest and to express concerns about the situation. It's also important to avoid the tendency to just jump in and take over the lives of your loved ones without their consent or involvement. I've been involved in situations where children decided to move their parents to a retirement community without telling them. You can probably imagine how that worked out. Not very well. The successful conversations follow guidelines of what I call minimally disruptive caregiving. The idea that both parties, the adult children and the older adult parents, are involved to develop solutions together. Planning before an immediate crisis offers the best opportunity for success. Many individuals or families find themselves in crisis due to a health or other emergency, and a move needs to be completed in the scope of as little as 3 days. I hear many times, "Oh, if I'd only known." Becoming educated before there's a need offers the opportunity for you to look and plan for the long term. Let's listen to Rose, who wishes that she could turn back the clock.
Something about getting older that you wish you would have known years ago. Anything?
Yes, I would not be here if I'd had my way. But I did fall a couple of times, and my daughter just felt like I should be in a place like this. But if I had known ahead of time, I would not have done it. I really wouldn't.
What would you have done instead?
Well, I'd like to have stayed in my home. The only trouble is, when you live in your home, there's a lot of things you can't do there. So she wanted me to have people look after me, make sure that I was safe. I don't quite know how to answer that question. I mean, this is a lovely place. It couldn't ask for anything nicer, I don't think. But I just would rather have been on my own. But I can understand why she did it. I can understand what she wanted for me.
Prevention, if you're living independently, is so important. So is planning ahead, like Rose learned. If you're not yet ready to move, but realize that a move is in your future, it's important to look at your options so that you can plan for the next 6 months, a year, and beyond that. For many, when a crisis occurs, a move is made in a matter of 3 days. Why three, you might ask? Three is usually the notice that a rehab center or a nursing home gives you if you've been there for treatment. Hospitals sometimes give same-day notice. It's shocking for individuals who can't return home to live independently without assistance because there's no time to plan. The other shock is that Medicare doesn't pay for long-term care. You do, but that's another story. Is 3 days really enough to plan for the rest of your life? Is 3 days really enough to make the best decision for your long-term care needs? For some people, 3 months isn't enough. For many, having to make important decisions in crisis results in making the wrong choices and the wrong move that has to be done again at great expense and emotional distress. Research proves that when the right education and support is available, overwhelm decreases. I'm Pamela Wilson, the Care Navigator, spokesperson and guardian of the caring generation, embracing life's transitions with dignity, clarity, and stability. Join me on 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station, for the Caring Generation every Sunday from 10 to noon, and visit thecaringgeneration.com for more information.